following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. Okay, now, if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276, as usual. All you got to do is give me a call. Four open lines. I want to hear from you. All right, now, I'm going to give you a heads up that there's going to be, I'm going to be releasing it probably this week or next week, a trip to Japan. Turns out, I'll be going to Japan, Lord willing. It's going to be a 10-day tour for anybody who wants to sign up and join us. And just like going to Israel, except we're going to Japan. Why Japan? Well, for one thing, they want me to come over and speak. And I'm going to Israel in February of next year. Turns out there's a lot of Christian history there. And some churches and some places want me to give some talks, and that's fine. And what I'm going to do is turn it into a tour as well, a 10-day tour. I'll be releasing information on that. And I was putting the getting ready for the website page to be released on all the documentation. Need a few more things. Man, it's really pretty over there. There's a lot of stuff to see. So if that sounds interesting, keep that in mind. And we'll let you know more about that later. All right. Wow, the calls are coming in. That's good. And there was something else, and I can't remember what it is. Oh, yes, I do. So I'm developing in PowerPoint a little thing on Catholicism. I think I'm going to try something here. I'm going to work on doing a video using PowerPoint, sharing it, doing stuff where I can present information. And then release them as videos. I'm going to be attacking some of the things on Catholicism and its false doctrines, and so I'm working on that. Pray about that if you want. What else? There was something else, but you know what? I cannot remember, and that's okay. No big deal. Let's just jump on the lines. Let's get to Simon from Norway. Hey, Simon, welcome. You are on the air.
Yeah. Hey, Matt. Thanks. Yeah, I have a question on unbelievers that say that God is love, and God is inside every one of us. You know, I come across these people every now and then, and I just get so frustrated with the circularity of their reasoning, and I just try to get them to see, you know, the arbitrariness of their claims, and sometimes I just feel I get stuck, and it's like nothing sinks in, and oftentimes this is online, and you know, yeah, yep.
So what's the exact issue, though? So I'll give you a response on what I might say.
Well, you know, like, well, let's say I'm witnessing. You know, I say, well, you know, you need to repent of your sins and you know, believe in Jesus Christ. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And, you know, you need to stand on the Word of God, and then they just say, well, you're condemning and. But then, you know, they don't see that in their claim that everybody is right and you know that God is love and he wouldn't you know, you shouldn't fear him and he's inside every one of us and it's like so.
Okay, what you do?
And then they don't see the
Is ask them where are they getting their information from? Where are they getting this from? I've had people tell me, "Oh, God loves us all; he would never send anybody to hell." I said, "And where are you getting this from? What you have a telephone line, a text message from God who tells you this exact stuff? Do you have a source book, prophets, prophecies? You have miracles backing things up? Do you have anything, or is it just what you think? And that's what you feel, because if it's what you think and feel, you're entitled to that, but it has no bearing on whether or not it's true or not. So that's
I have two examples of that, because this one person just keeps backing up her claims by just saying, "Well, this is what I mean. This is what I think." You know, it's like constantly just going back to one's own opinion, you know, and just not being able to account for that at all. You know, it's like just being stuck in that.
Right.
And another person is doing what you're saying. As I ask, well, where do you get this from? And this person, she's saying, well, I get it from this person that got this revelation, and God showed him so-and-so-and-so. And I'm like, well, are you sure that it was God that showed him that, and that wasn't just a bad pizza he ate the other day or something like that?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Exactly, that's what you say, and you just question it. What is the basis of validation for their position? And that's all you got to do is just go back and ask the question over and over again in different forms, different ways.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
They don't have anything.
I'm kind of just hoping that other people that pay attention kind of hook into what's going on, and that they can be at least be able to see the fallacious reasoning of the other person, hopefully.
That's it.
The person obviously doesn't see it herself. So.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's what it is. And so just tell them, sorry, but, and I tell people, no offense, you're entitled to your opinion, but your opinions have no bearing on whether or not something's true or false. So, I say I would prefer to go with the historical eyewitness accounts of the resurrection, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and I'll put my faith and trust in the miraculous there. If you want to put it in your feelings, that's okay. But I want something more solid than someone's personal feelings. Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know you've done this thousands of times, so I'm kind of a newbie, but great to talk to you.
Well, thanks, Doug. Excuse me. Aren't you the one on Patreon who's commented a couple of times?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote you back.
It kind of also goes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't looked in the past couple of days, but I wrote you back and said the link you sent me didn't work and with something else.
Okay, yeah.
So
all right.
Let you know.
I'll get you a better link then. Yeah. Yeah, and I was going to say that if the Patreon, the videos there are really good. I mean, people should go there and sign up for your videos there because they're short and they're good. And then what we're talking about now. Is on that new Gnosticism episode that you had, and I hope you can develop that more and hook it in with some presuppositional apologetics. That'd be great.
Yep, I do need to do that. I do need more more stuff on it. In fact, I have the article I was working on it just a few days ago on that very topic. Yep, the new Gnosticism. Mm. There it is. Mm. Yes. I'll do some outline work in a grid. Okay, yeah. All right, buddy. Well, God bless, man. Thanks. Thanks for calling all the way from Norway. Wow, that's awesome.
Sure. Oh. Yeah, it's already tomorrow here. So.
All right, man. All right, God bless.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, let's get to Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Rudolph, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. My question is, how long did Jesus Christ remain on the earth after he was resurrected?
I think 40 days. Okay.
What is that?
I don't know. Let's see.
How do you know?
Well, let's see if I can find it. 40, let's see. Yes, here it is. Acts 1:3, to these he also presented himself alive after sufferings by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. About when he was taken to heaven, 40 days, there it is. Found it quick and slick right there, Acts 1:3. You know, computers are awesome. I can find stuff so fast. I love computers.
Yes, sir. What did you live stream to now? Because you
Which what?
On YouTube, but... What are you live streaming to now?
I live stream to Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, and also Odyssey. So I'm on four different things right now, and I'm going through the system called StreamYard. So that's what I'm doing. We have people in the StreamYard feed right now, Laura and Charlie, and then I can see... On my screen, all the comments that come in from those things are fed back into this, and I can read them all. So I can, and then on the screen above that, I have the Comrex, and at my bottom left screen, I have my Bible program, and my upper left screen, I have four monitors. I keep track in Excel on the topics and the timestamps of the different days and with the URLs to the feeds. So that's what I do. I'm always busy. Okay. Always busy. Even on the air, I'm busy.
Yes, sir. Okay. My friend said that he tried to look at on YouTube and everything on there was old and it's, none of them worked.
You mean on for Garm stuff?
But you on YouTube. Was that?
I don't understand. Everything was old. You mean on Garm videos or what?
He didn't say. He just said YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know
but
what he means.
So,
yeah. Now, there's YouTube feeds all the time to one of the Matt Slick Live YouTube things, but we haven't put anything up for video stuff on Carm videos for a while, but we will be.
Okay. I will call him right now and tell him, but thank you. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Well, God bless. Okay, Rudolph. All right, two open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Mark from Florida. Welcome, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Before I ask my question, if I could just give a real quick background on it so you understand where I'm going with this. Recently, I had my grandmother passed away, and I was consoling her daughter, my two aunts, and we were talking, and they both commented, well, one of them commented that she's with the Lord now in heaven, but the other one said she's resting, and this particular aunt of mine has said that more than once, and I took her aside and asked her privately, resting, explain that to me, and make long story short, I discovered she was Jehovah's Witness, and she doesn't live in this country. She's in Australia, but I told her I'm going to go ahead and do some FaceTime with her or something, a video call of some sorts, and we're gonna talk. Mm-hmm. She wanted to talk to me more, but I never really. I've tried to go in and I've tackled a lot of different angles of their theology before, but that one I've never really dug mm-hmm. into. Do you have any tips on how to deal with their view of the body going into? Yep. Yes, that's mm-hmm. it. Soul sleep, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Is there a way to go and refute that with scripture?
Yes. So, if you were to go to Carm and look up the Jehovah's Witness section, you'll probably see articles on soul sleep. If you also go mm-hmm. to the annihilationism section, so if you go to Carm/annihilationism, you'll be taken to a section. I've written over 180 articles related to that topic. It's quite an endeavor. I learned a great deal out of it. And there's some issues there related to soul sleep, and there are logical problems with it. Soul sleep, what they're saying is that, you know, I'll work through this slowly here, and generally speaking, when you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness, you're not going to get much logic. You're going to get brainwashed. So you have to speak slowly and see if they're even getting the points of logic and truth. They just can't think critically because they have been, their brains' frontal lobes have been atrophied by the Watchtower organization. So, soul sleep.
And okay.
So soul you're saying sleep. Asleep. Yeah, you can look
it up.
So ask him.
Alrighty.
Okay, we've got a break, so hold on. And we'll get back and I'll talk about how to deal with it, okay? Hey, folks, two open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Mark, are you still there?
Still here.
All right. So let me give some basics about soul sleep, all right? So when I talk to people who believe in it, I say, so they're asleep. Yes, I say, okay. And they'll say, yes. I said, so they're unconscious. Yes, I said, well, is it not true that sleep is a biological function? Do angels sleep? And the answer is, well, we're not angels. I got that. Do angels sleep? No. Does God sleep? No. And so we as spirits now suddenly sleep? in the afterlife? How does that work? It's just a question. They don't have an answer. Okay? They don't have an answer. So, okay, so then I ask other questions. I say, are they expending any energy? They go, what? Yeah. If they're asleep, that means they're alive, right? That means they're expending energy, right? Otherwise, they're dead. They don't exist, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. If they're expending energy, well, what are they doing? Well, I don't know. So you don't know what sleep is, how it's related to a non-biological something. You don't know if they're expending any energy or doing anything, dreaming or not or what, and this is your position?
Wow. They don't even know what it means in the Old Testament to be in Sheol, then.
No. And, you know, you can take them. You can go to 2 Corinthians.
I didn't even think of it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Thank you.
And you can go to 2 Corinthians 12 and start reading. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul says, I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And he saw inexpressible things. And I said, so he was out of the body. Could he be outside the body? But he was alive. Can you explain how that works? If soul sleep
and
is
it'll
true...
Say, it'll say that in their new world translation like that? I mean, I could check, but...
Actually, a good question. Let me go check. Let's see. Oh, boy, I got a yawn coming up. Let's see.
Sorry for the side question.
Let's check it out here. Let's see. Library. Online Bible. I'm going. And displayed in English. Oh, yeah. Let's look at the New World Translation. That horrible, horrible translation. So let's see. 1 Corinthians... Here we go. It's 1 Corinthians, right? See, 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians. Okay, hold on a sec. I hit the wrong button. Here we go. Get a 1. Pick the 1 to a 2. Hit enter. Uh-oh. Got to do it wrong. I did it wrong. All right, let me do it this way. Sorry about that. This is live, and I messed up, and I hit on this the wrong one. 2 Corinthians. Here we go. 12. And what it says in their translation, they're not translation, it says, I know a man in union with Christ who, 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught away into the third heaven. Yes, I know such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, do not know, God knows, who's caught up away into paradise and heard words which cannot be spoken, etc. So, yeah, it'll work. Okay.
Perfect. Perfect. Because I can go ahead and let them explain it to me, and then say, okay, that's interesting. I have a few questions about the logic of it, but before we do that, can we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and then go from there? And then,
yes, one of the things, yeah. And yeah, just ask them questions. Ask them questions. What does it mean?
Right.
You know, does soul sleep, because soul sleep means a continuation of the person, but in unconsciousness. But unconsciousness is a biological issue. And now they're imposing a biological issue on a non-biological thing.
Right.
How's that work?
I have noticed with them, I have to be very humble and ask questions with everything. And just to let you know that this is not going to be the focal point. I'm going to slowly lead into the gospel message, which I know they're a works-based system, and also lead into who the real Jesus is, because they believe he's the Archangel Michael. But I needed a starting point, since that was the point of our conversation with where it started. So this is good. Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I want to plant the seed of doubt in their mind. I'm not trying to change them, but I'm trying to go ahead and basically break... ruffle their feathers over there in Australia, and hopefully the light starts to shine through, because my aunt's been this way since 16 years old, and
she's in a cult.
Yeah, but thankfully, I ruffling their feathers works. I've had them come to my door, and a woman bragged 30 years she was in it, and I gave her a few scriptures and said, "Can you answer this and that?" and She came about a week or two later and to the door with her friend, and I had to ask the same questions, and they came again and thanked me for showing them the truth. I'm like, hey,
did they leave?
I didn't show you that. No, I showed them some more stuff, and
No, I meant, and did they leave the Jehovah's Witnesses?
They did. They did, actually. Yeah, and I didn't do a thing but show them the scripture. So, you know, God did everything after that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, good. Yeah, there's lots of ways to witness to them, and I've got a lot in my head about them. And this issue of soul sleep, yeah. There are different directions you can go with it. With the cult of the Jehovah's Witnesses, it's a slightly different approach than the Christians would say with it. There's many similarities, but there's a few things. And one has to do with continuity issue, continuation, hypostatic union, and other things. But, yeah, so there you go.
Oh, okay. Oh, before I forget, and I go, the thief that was hanging to the side of Christ,
yes,
would that be something to introduce too, because of what he said?
Yes, they're going to come back, and today he'll be with me in paradise. What they're going to do is say, well, to him, there's different ways. To him, when he dies, well, no, I forget that. We'll do it this way. What they'll say is, I'm saying to you this today, that you will be with me in paradise. So I'm telling you today, right now, I'm telling you this.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a play on words. Okay.
That's what they do.
They don't.
So don't go there, because you'll be wrangling about something that's not necessary. But there are other things. Okay. I would recommend you go to Psalm 116:4 and cross-reference it with 1 Corinthians 1:2. Go to CARM and look up the article dealing with call upon the name of the Lord out of 1 Corinthians. It's a very good argument against Jehovah's Witness position. Very good argument. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome, man.
A soldier out of me. Thank you.
That's what we're all supposed to be. We're all to be soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ, not trophies sitting on a shelf doing nothing, right?
Yeah, it really irritates me, that New World Translation. And I don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if I'm wrong in feeling this way, but I actually enjoy engaging with them.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Not to try to prove them wrong, but to try to help them, because I want to help them. Is that wrong of me to think that with enjoy wanting to do this? I invite them in my home.
Yeah. I enjoy it because I'm put together that way. A lot of people don't enjoy it. Okay. So, work with what God's given you. All right?
Yeah. I'm just trying not to be arrogant, but thank you.
Well, when you figure out how not to be arrogant, call me up and tell me how, because I'd like to know that.
Right. Thanks, Matt. God bless.
All right, man. Well, God bless, buddy. Hey, folks, two open lines. There's the break. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. We're at the bottom of the hour. If you want to give me a call, two open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get on the line with Paul from Virginia. Paul, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I have a question about Ezekiel 38:39, and I am hearing reports that by fall, and what they mean by fall, I'm not sure, that we're going to be in a possible diesel and or fuel shortage issue. And I wondered if you'd heard anything to that regard. And
yeah, I've heard that. Also, I've heard there's going to be a fuel shortage. I've also been keeping up on the food processing plants that are burning down across America. Not all the time, but I've heard about that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's credible? Well, we know the food processing plants are fairly are credible, but as they've already occurred, mainstream, I don't believe reporting on it. But do you think these other reports are credible?
I don't know. There's a lot of false information that goes on out there. But as Jesus says, discern the signs of the time. So because of what the left is doing, because of the woke idiocy, because of this idiocy, stupidity with this trans sexuality, LGBTQ plus everything, alphabet stuff going on with the, well, let's just say how everything's going. There's so much stuff that I can't see, or I would not be surprised if there's a major problem that develops out of it. In fact, I don't know if you know, but New York just released a public statement, public, was it PSA, public statement announcement on what to do in case there's a nuclear attack. New York City did this just recently, the past few days. Now, why would they do that? Well, apparently it's because there's some small nukes that have gone missing. So New York would be one of the places to be attacked. So they, you know, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but they did. You can check it. They've released what to do. So why would they do that? You know. So does it? If New York gets hit, then it'll be a major effect. But you know, our economy is going to survive it unless the left decides to take power and suspend the Constitution, issue martial law. Those are the kind of things I'm worried about. You know, they just, I don't trust the left anymore. I can throw the, you know, the Pentagon. So, you know, I don't know. But I just say to people, prep up, you know, just get some food and water ready and, you know, an extra gas can of gasoline with a preservative in it, make sure everything's safe, and just kind of be prepped. The Bible talks about it, to be prepped. And so, just be biblical. Don't go crazy. No problem.
Yeah. Okay, and then the part regarding Ezekiel 38:39, mm-hmm. Is that sometime, which I know Ezekiel was written long, long ago, but is what is being prophesied there, is that sometime in the future far off from us, or no way to know for sure?
Well, I wouldn't say far off. It deals with Magog coming in and taking a spoil out of out of Israel, and so some of the stuff I've heard. Now I've just heard this. I've not verified it, but apparently there's a dam on the Euphrates River that, if they flip the right switch, it can dry up the river and send it off a different direction, and there's the prophecy in the Bible, I forgot where, 200 million man army marches from the east to take a spoil out of Israel. And so some say Magog and Magog, Moscow, they say there's a derivation of it. I don't know. But the question is, what is the spoil out of Israel? And I've known this for a while, that the amount of minerals in the Dead Sea are in the trillions of dollars. And if they can get the technology to extract it the right way, they'll be incredibly rich. And so, who knows? You know, is China going to march and try and take a spoil? But according to the prophecy, one interpretation is Russia comes down from the north, China comes out from the east, moves into Israel and Armageddon, and there's a big battle, and Israel wins. Now, you know, that's one of the theories I've heard.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Sure. Don't know if it's all true, but that's what some of the stuff I've heard. Just conveying the info. All right, buddy?
Yeah. All right, thank you.
All right. You know, I've written an article about preparedness on CARM. And so I'm just saying, you know, folks, you should have a little extra water, some extra food, medical supplies. I'm not saying panic. I'm just saying it's just wise to do that. You know, in Texas, they lost power for a couple of weeks. What would you do if it happened in your area? You know, so we had a power outage here last week, and so I have a battery pack that's just for backup, and we used it for a couple of things. It was no big deal, but it's just smart to not depend on things around you. Just because they've always worked that way doesn't mean they're always going to continue to. And so there's solar flares are erupting and getting stronger, and they can disrupt communication processes and various things, and cause power outages. So, you know, I'm not trying to panic anybody. It's just wise to be prepared, as the Bible says. So there you go. All right, let's get on the air with Zach from Arkansas. Zach, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man. What do you got, buddy?
So my question today is about divorce. I know that the Bible gives a few parameters as far as why God allow that, not wishing that it would happen, but allow for it. And my question, is concerning a couple that I know divorced some time ago. I just want to protect them as much as I can. But in their situation, the man was someone who abused drugs and alcohol, sometimes very frequently. Sometimes it would be, you know, a year and a half, 2 years before he used again. And when talking to this man about it, post the divorce, and they've been divorced for a long, long time now, he expressed that he felt was unwarranted, and that in a biblical sense, that and so that was very interesting. I don't know that I agree with that, but
you broke up just for a bit, so I didn't hear everything. Yeah, I didn't hear everything you said. So, so let's try it this way. What's your question then?
Okay, so right. My question is, if someone was abusing drugs in a marriage, and their partner, their spouse,
don't say partner,
filed
right.
for divorce, would that be legitimate grounds for divorce in the eyes of God from the authority of Scripture?
It depends. See, I can't say, oh, yes, or, hey, no. I can't say yes or no, because different situations have to be looked at. So let's just say a person's abusing alcohol, which is a type of drug, and that's he's an alcoholic or she's an alcoholic. Is that warrant for divorce? Maybe. It depends on what's occurring inside of it and with it. So if it's causing continual strife, if there's a physical abuse, then it's moving down that line of, yeah, there's grounds because of the abandonment of the covenant relationship. And so, you're making noise, buddy. And so, everything has to be looked at inside of the context and the circumstances. And then the elders of the church need to be involved as well. So it's just not an easy yes or no to that. All right? Are you there? Okay.
I do apologize for the noise. I know I'm driving around right now. If you have any further commentary, I'll take my answer on your show. I'll go ahead and listen back to it. But thank you very much for your time. I'll let you go, and that was very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, God bless. So the Bible basically says there's two reasons for divorce, adultery and abandonment. And when one of the spouses commits adultery, it's grounds for divorce, but not required that you divorce. And the other one is abandonment. And if the unbeliever spouse goes and abandons you, you know, the Bible says you let him go. Now, he's talking about the present circumstances out of 1 Corinthians 7:15, but about abandonment. So abandonment is the idea of just leaving, not being committed to the marriage anymore, breaking that vow of fidelity there. And so how does that relate to drug abuse and other things in that area? And that's why it's a difficult thing to discuss quickly. There's a lot of details that have to be understood. Hey, we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Jose from Texas. Jose, you're on the air.
Hello, Matt. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So what do you got, Matt?
Yeah, I have a quick question. So I was reading Isaiah 66, verse 24. I mean, I normally use the NASB 95, but my older brother likes to use NLT. And we were talking over, he was telling me that that I guess we will, us believers, once we go to heaven, we will be able to see people in hell.
Where is it? What verse is that?
Isaiah chapter 66, verse 24. And
then they will go forth and look on the corpses of men who have transgressed against me. Corpses are on the earth, and they're decaying. It's not corpses are not down in hell, because the corpse is something that's dead. And in hell, they would be alive, so it doesn't work.
Okay, so the last part of the verse says, all who pass by will view them with utter horror. That has nothing to do with people seeing other unbelievers in hell, correct?
Yeah, it's not about seeing people in hell and things like that. No, it's not.
Okay. And the reason why he's asking, I guess, whenever the rich and Lazarus, I guess he kind of alluded to that verse too. So, anyways, just add that.
Yeah, it's written on that article or on that. It's an eschatological pronouncement of God's judgment on the wicked. And it's a figurative use of where the worm will not die and the fire will not be quenched. And it's just talking about the wickedness of the people who are going to die. And it says from, in the previous verse, that it shall be from new moon to new moon, from Sabbath to Sabbath. And so it's just talking about things on the earth and the problems there. That's what's going on. Okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
All right. All right, man. Hey, can I ask one more question? Or
sure.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah, sorry, quick question. There's this cold going on here in Mexico. They're saying that...
Mundo?
No, Mundo? Another one. It's from LDS, Mexico City. There's this guy, he called himself an apostle as well. And he's saying that the Holy Spirit, it's a female.
Is that the World Mission, World Mission Society Church of God?
It hasn't called the Lord of the Eagles, the Redeemed.
Oh.
It's a church in Mexico. It's getting very popular, and that idea is actually spreading a lot to the Spanish-speaking world. But anyways, I try to debate him, but he's saying that, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove, alluding to the dove.
That's not true.
He
did not come in as a form of a dove. It wasn't a bird. He came down as a dove does that. It lighted down, he's kind of moved down. That's all. But anyway, go ahead.
Right. So, anyways, I guess to rebuttal that or to refute that idea, I mean, we can't say that God is, in a sense, not a male, right, or anything like that, anything of that nature. Because I know there's people that are confused in terms of that gender, in terms of God's gender. Yeah.
Well, some groups, they can't think very critically, and they'll say, well, if there's God the Father, there's got to be a God the Mother. And
yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and well, no, that's not the case, because God the Father is a term used in the culture of which it was written to show preeminence and relationship. It's not talking about a male and female in heaven, as Mormonism teaches, for example. But it's just, I just get exasperated by hearing this kind of stuff because it's just so dumb. And people believe these things.
Really?
They can't think. They're assigning biological function to a being that's supposed to be everywhere. You can't do that. It doesn't work, And so they just don't think. And a lot of people in the cult suspend logic, suspend facts, suspend reason, go with feelings. And that's why they're so deceived. The Bible says, serve the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it doesn't say just with feelings, but he wants you with your commitment in your heart, but also use your mind. And if they don't match, you got a problem. And so in cults, the heart feeling, what they believe, and the mind, whether what's true, don't match. So they what they'll do is elevate their feelings, internal stuff, over the mind, over the facts. Not that the mind has to be superior over it, but the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It does not say be transformed by removing of how you feel. And so exactly. What Satan right. wants is for people to believe in feelings and trust feelings and not the truth of God's word and to think through these things. So with the cult, it's difficult. And I had an encounter with a member of a cultist cult group, World Mission Society, Church of God, and on Saturday, and I presented something to him that absolutely refuted his position. I mean, without a doubt. Just he could not handle it, and he just continued to repeat the same old thing and then offered an explanation that made no sense at all because they don't have the answers, and it's pretty bad. So it's typical.
Okay. Anyway, all right, Matt. Well, we'll talk later.
Okay, man. Hasta luego, hombre. Okay.
All right.
Let's get to Gary from Ohio. Hey, Gary, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Quick. See if you can help me out with my father. My father is a hard-boiled atheist, and so I shared a verse with him about the we spoke. You helped me out with the female pastoring,
uh-huh.
And you know, his response is to that. He says, Gary, that's one version. And I said, well, you know, I tell my father, you know, it's New King James, which he doesn't know anything about. Obviously, an atheist doesn't know. I'm just wondering how I should try to counter him. I'm obviously
countering
he doesn't
in what
care.
Regard?
He says, I'll just burn.
Okay. You mean in the existence of God? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Ask him how he makes sense of anything. That's what I would do. I'd say, how do you make sense of anything?
True.
What is this ultimate source? What's the ultimate source, the foundation of your belief system? Because, you know, everything that exists for a reason and is part of the causal chain of actuality, of a reality. So what is the initiation of that causal chain? Where does it come from? How do you explain our own existence? How do you explain anything about moral absolutes and truth? How do you know anything? Because without a foundation, everything you believe is arbitrary. Without understanding or having justification for it, it's just an arbitrary belief. It's all you have. What's the source of your belief? Why do you deny God? What is it? Start asking these questions. You can do that.
Yeah, I'll try that. I mean, I've mentioned a few things to him, and it's just, you know, obviously with your father, you can understand that you're trying to.
Oh yeah.
So I'll try that, but you know, I spoke with you a few times, but meaning to ask you about the hate mail. Do you get a lot of atheists that call? You know what? I've watched some of your YouTubes. I can see you get a really big kick out of the hate mail. I do as well.
Yeah, I love it. I got issues.
Oh,
I
man.
Enjoy them.
Do you get a lot of it?
You know, to be honest, I don't know because I don't keep track of the emails anymore. We have a staff who are doing that.
Okay.
But I think they update, but I can go through and look. But we don't get as much hate mail as we used to.
It.
We just don't get as much.
Ah.
And, we keep, you know, so maybe maybe they're deleting them now. I don't know. But we used to get them all the time. And atheists used to call me up on the radio all the time and debate me. But they don't do that anymore. Very rarely, and probably because they don't have a leg to stand on, and you know I can answer them.
Yeah, they just don't. If they don't, they just want to write in. They don't want to call, which is
They don't want to face the issues. And I'll call them on the carpet.
Yeah.
I will hear what they're saying, and I will respond to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's a chat room, and we don't have anybody, we do have another person waiting. A chat room I was in yesterday, and they were offering a challenge. God exists because. They want Christians to justify God's existence, and then they're going to attack, how do you know that, how do you know that, how do you know that? So I went into the room, and I said, I can answer your, I can complete the sentence. And they said, okay, go ahead. You know, they're going to attack it. And I said, God exists because it's his nature to exist. That was it. They had nothing to say at that point. And, You know, it just, there's a lot of simple stuff you can say to atheists, but they don't have a leg to stand on. They can't justify logic. They can't justify our existence. They can't justify morality. They can't unify facts and actuality of phenomena to an ultimate. They don't have any basis by which they can judge what the ultimate is, so they can then demonstrate or justify an initiation of any causal set of events that bring us to now. They have nothing. So there's lots of things you could say to them.
Appreciate it. Yeah, got you, man. I'm going to try that. I appreciate it, Matt.
Thanks. All right, man. All right, God bless.
Take care. Bye.
Okay. All right, Mary from North Carolina. So the topic you're going to talk about. So but there are children listening, so you need to be very careful how you talk about it, okay?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your show. And
There's children, okay. So with self-gratification in that way, yeah, okay.
Self-gratification. And he claims it is not a sin because he is not physically with another person.
Well, I'm being very careful with this because I don't want too much to get out, because I know that there are people who listen to this on the way home from work and picking up their kids and things like that. So I'm very cautious about it. Let's just say that if you were to go to CARM and you were to read up on the questions about sexuality, I've written a lot on it and this topic. And so generically, I'm going to say that we are to keep our minds pure before God. And that in that kind of a scenario situation, the mind must be remain pure. And so if it isn't, it's definitely a sin. And so when we take this principle, we work with it, and then we apply it to situations, then we get into some other issues. And I don't want to say too much over the air, but let's just say that for the most part, it's not godly and not good. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. Now we'll go and check it out at your website. Thank you.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. All right. Hey, folks, that's a difficult topic to get through quickly and easily. There's a lot of variables involved. People say, well, no, it's all black and white. Is it? And so I'm not saying it is or isn't right or wrong. I'm saying you got to just be careful. There's a lot written about it on the website and different things and situations and issues and some stuff I haven't even written about that aren't as always as black and white as you think. But for the most part, of course, yes, stay away from it. All right. Hey, folks, there you go. And may the Lord bless you. And by his grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. And in 2 hours, I'm supposed to be teaching on Clubhouse on basic Christian doctrine. Maybe you can join me. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.